The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yes, just a little test for Naftali Bennett's new government.
Mm-hmm.
A little earthquake in southern Israel. fortunately, it didn't really test the government at all, but you kind of feel like all these tests are coming in from every corner. 4.2 magnitude earthquake was felt in southern Israel last night. Apparently the epicenter was 68 kilometers northeast of Eilat, which of course is along that Jordan Valley area. The tectonic plates do meet there, and there is a certain sensitivity around that area. And just another little warning that a big one is definitely due sometime soon.
I'm surprised that Netanyahu didn't say, look, see, I told you that even God is not happy with this move, right?
You think that would be a little too opportunistic? Mm. Just a little?
I wouldn't put it past him. Not one that... all right. Let's talk about more serious issues. And that, of course, is this flare-up that has taken place overnight. Give us the context here.
Okay. So the IDF was in action last night, attacking a number of targets in Gaza, military sites belonging to Hamas in particular. And this was in response to more than 20 fires that were that broke out yesterday in southern Israel as a result of quite a few incendiary and even explosive balloons that were sent over from Gaza. And of course, all of this is against the backdrop of the flag march that took place in Jerusalem yesterday. We did discuss the fact that the flag march was due to take place. It went ahead as planned, and there was quite a lot of there was quite a lot of behavior which was really critical, which was criticized, by a number of people, in particular Yair Lapid. There were people who marched around calling for death to Arabs, certain rhetoric of that sort, which Yair Lapid really felt was intolerable, racist, abominable in his words, and felt that it was just inappropriate and unnecessary to have that sort of behavior going on. But there was quite a large turnout of people who came along to that flag march. There was a stop outside the Damascus Gate where there was some dancing, and then the crowd moved quite gently on from there, where normally the march would go through the Damascus Gate yesterday. In fact, it did not. It moved on from the Damascus Gate further up towards the Jaffa Gate. In the end, even though quite a number of people were arrested along the route, there was some quite antagonistic behavior that did go on during the course of the flag march, both from people involved and people who were on the outskirts. It ended at the Kotel, and that really ended the flag march as an event yesterday. And then, of course, there was the response, these incendiary and explosive balloons that were sent over from Gaza towards southern Israel. And, of course, the IDF response in order to counter those attacks, because Naftali Bennett has said in the past, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has said in the past, that incendiary balloons will be considered to be as an attack from Gaza. And he did respect those words from previously by instructing the IDF to carry out these attacks. Now, you know, one could look at those events and say, well, those were just events on the day. But I think there's a much deeper issue that went on yesterday. And the deeper issue was testing the new government. I think that the Gaza forces at Hamas were determined to see how the new government was going to play out yesterday. And in turn, I think the new government wanted to lay out its stall, wanted to show how it's going to manage things moving forward. Is there going to be a change from what went on in the previous government, or are things going to be different? And I think it was a very, very significant test for the new government, first of all, in terms of whether they would be willing to cancel the flag march or not. And having decided not to cancel the flag march, how were they going to respond? How were they going to insist upon the flag march being policed? And then how were they going to respond to Hamas's threats? Because Hamas really was threatening that there would be quite a significant breakout. Potentially there would be missiles fired from Gaza in response to the flag march, calls to arms against an attack on Al-Aqsa. Very, very emotional and emotive language being used and lots of texts being sent in the process. I think that Naftali Bennett's government has done very well to navigate the events of yesterday. I think that by showing that the flag march will go ahead in spite of Hamas trying to call the shots was a very brave move. There are a lot of people who thought that it might have been foolhardy and it would have just been easier to cancel the flag march. But I think in the end that quite an even path was navigated in a very, very sensitive environment. And potentially this could lay down as a precedent the way in which the new government is going to manage things moving forward. Unfortunately, I didn't hear what listeners had thought yesterday, whether they thought that the flag march should go ahead or not. What was the general sentiment?
So the general sentiment was absolutely it should go ahead. There was, you know, basically that was, yeah, pretty much the sentiment. As people saying that, imagine banning a flag march through Washington. Which I hear, but I don't hear. Obviously, you know, there isn't the same sensitivity in Washington. What upsets me is the negative behavior of some of the marchers. You know, surely there should have been seichel, you know, intelligence, a sensitivity to say, okay, we're pushing it, we're having this march, but let's try and behave as best as we possibly can.
Well, I think a lot of them came out with a very, very different agenda, saying that we are determined to assert our sovereignty and our authority over the city of Jerusalem in the most extreme permissible way. Some people came out with that agenda. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that the flag march was allowed to go ahead was just the beginning for them. They were going to do everything that they possibly could to show who's boss, if that's the term that you want to use, in Israel's capital city. And of course, even though we do wish to be free in our capital city, to do as we please, to behave in the way that we like, there are rules and there are laws and there is common sense, of which a lot does not necessarily prevail in the city of Jerusalem, unfortunately. But even though we are free to do as we wish, we are obliged to operate within the laws, and those laws are there to be adhered to. So unfortunately, some people felt that by trying to show their sovereignty and their authority and their freedom in the city of Jerusalem, that they actually transgressed the laws. And of course, racism is a law which is not tolerated in Israel. There is a behavior that's not tolerated. There are laws against that. And so, unfortunately, some people felt the need to transgress those. Mm. And I think that they were dealt with accordingly. But I agree with you that element could easily have been avoided. And it wouldn't have detracted at all from the situation.
So Philip, listening in from Israel, says, "Hi, I was there, and the efficiency of the security forces and the police was exceptional. There will always be troublemakers, but they were in the minority," which I'm sure is the case.
That's what you want to hear, right? Mm. That's what you want to hear, that people are allowed to do what they want. They're allowed to express themselves, to have a traditional flag march, that the security is on top of things, that there is little room for people to break out and to break the laws and to potentially antagonize in a way which could create a situation which is otherwise avoidable. I'm happy to hear that the security forces were really there. And I think that the whole way in which the day was conducted, I think, is to the credit of the incoming government. I think it was a very, very significant and difficult test for them on their first day in office, second day in office. And I think they navigated it relatively elegantly on this occasion.
Well, and tell us about what has there been any fallout following the Gaza situation at all?
Well, of course, things on the Gaza border were very, very tense yesterday. Not only were there the incendiary and explosive balloons, and when I say explosive balloons, I mean balloons that were sent over the border with explosive devices attached to them, which are enormously dangerous. Where there's no knowledge of where these balloons might land, where they may explode, who they may hurt. I mean, it's just the most callous expression of sending a ticking time bomb into a residential area, into built-up areas, and not really caring what happens next. I mean, that is, you know, the classic war crime. If ever there was a war crime, I mean, that's certainly going to be it, because there is also little defense against devices like that. We still haven't found an effective way to counter these incendiary balloons, and of course the explosive balloons even more difficult. So there was tension on the Gaza border. There were protests on the Gaza border, on both sides of the Gaza border, both on the Israeli side and on the Gaza side. There were also apparently people who managed to break through the fence. I'm not quite sure exactly how that transpired and where that happened, but the security forces were very, very quickly there to deal with the situation. So all in all, a lot of tension, a lot of potential explosive situations, all of which I think were very, very elegantly managed, both by the government in terms of policy and by the security forces on the ground. And the IDF, I think, did an exceptional job yesterday.
Right. So, it's not easy a situation for the new incoming government at all. Let's talk about the U.S. administration. They've finally appointed the new ambassador, the new U.S. ambassador to Israel. Tell us about him.
Yeah, so the nomination is Thomas Nides. No surprise there. His name has been in the frame for some time already. He's a man who, first of all, comes from a Jewish family. Let's start with that. Comes from the state of Minnesota, grew up in a Jewish family. His family were very much involved in Jewish affairs. His father was the president of the local temple and the Duluth Jewish Federation, which is where he grew up. Tom himself was involved in the Jewish community. Ironically, former Ambassador Dan Shapiro's wife, Julie, also comes from Duluth in Minnesota. So they are neighbors in some way from that local community. Tom Nides has been not only a very, very successful banker, a banking executive with one of the large investment banks from the U.S., but he's also been very much involved in government affairs. He was involved with the Obama administration, and he has now been picked by Joe Biden to be the ambassador. He will need to go through some sort of a process to have him confirmed. So that will yet take, I guess, a few weeks until all of that is taken care of. There was another potential name in the hat in the form of Robert Wexler, who was also potentially a candidate for this job. Ultimately, Tom Nides is the man, and it's going to be interesting to see how he goes about his job. I think there's been a muted reaction. People are not exactly sure how to respond. On the one hand, we do know that he comes from a Jewish family. He is very conscious of, you know, the where we've come from the Holocaust remembrance, making sure that all of that really stays to the forefront of everything that we do these days, and also has brought that to bear in terms of understanding how the U.S. administration has responded to, for example, United Nations issues against Israel and things like that. But on the other hand, we also know that he's very much a Democrat and very much linked to Antony Blinken, the current Secretary of State. We're not quite sure exactly what his view is on critical issues like Iran, for example. You know, this is something that we're going to have to still discover once he comes here, what his view is about the embassy being in Jerusalem. We don't know all of these things. And of course, this runs against the Republican view that was presented by Donald Trump. We know that the Democrats in his shoes would not necessarily have done the same things, but now they've found a certain situation which they have to deal with. So it's going to be interesting to see how our new ambassador, the US new ambassador, Tom Nides, will deal with this. But overall, I think a positive response to his appointment.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.